Hello, ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, listeners and friends. Thank you very much for tuning in to our first podcast of 2023. We had a very exciting time amongst the Los Bulls family inside the Capitol yesterday and the ongoing activities of today. Again, this is our first episode of 2023, and we've been in the thick of it. And luckily, we had originally a very generous location sponsor, but due to technical difficulties, we had to go back to our remote locations after spending the day at the Capitol. But it is very important to note and to acknowledge in our conversation, it's just very symbolic news of what it means to have it, to just be in the Senate leadership office, which is oftentimes where you can just find us talking about life and just, you know, politics from the lens of a Hispanic point of view. And really congratulate our co-host, Senator Ana Vitarte, Jason, on making history as the first Latino member of Senate leadership in the history of Georgia. And I mean, that's tremendous. Joel, do you want to toss your comments in as we celebrate our friend?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just really proud of Jason and his journey. I mean, I've known him over 20 years, and the fact that he is the first Latino to be in leadership in this way, it's really talks about the evolution of Latinos politically in the state. And I'm glad that Jason is breaking that ceiling and showing people what Latinos can do when given the opportunity to lead and to serve. So kudos to you, and know that, you know, I know that you're opening the door so that others can follow irrespective of party. And recognizing that we just need people to lead and to offer perspective in what it is we're trying to accomplish in the state.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, guys. And, you know, it's an honor. It is historic, but I try not to think about the history of it, but just, you know, just think about the cool opportunity, I think, just to kind of have dialogue and collaborate. And as I know, I've told other members of, you know, what will be the Hispanic caucus, you know, such as Pedro and others, is I know we ain't going to agree on everything, but at least we have a venue. We can have some conversation about the future of Georgia. So I think that's kind of the takeaway. And then from a leadership perspective, just, you know, being able to contribute and lead, 33 individuals on behalf of the citizens in this state, you know, it's a huge honor. So look forward to hopefully opportunity and prosperity for the state as we kind of move forward. So
yeah,
awesome times.
It's very exciting. It's we all are very proud of you, and we'll definitely dive into a little bit of the hopes and dreams, the fuzzy feel good stuff of the caucus.
But there is a lot of that.
Lots of those stuff.
And because we, you know, we're all professionals, we got stuff going on. I don't know if it's Joel or Jason that has a committee meeting going on in the background that I can hear.
That might be me. So maybe I need to put myself on mute.
Yeah. Thank you, Joel. So we wanted to get that out of the way. We wanted to
Joel's been tracking all the great work we're
working on. So again, for folks that are tuning in that don't know who we are, and somebody was just like, hey, go listen to these guys talk about politics. They're all Hispanic. We got Joel Alvarado, New Yorican progressive Afro-Latino nonprofit professional focused on Southern racial equity, and he once called Brooklyn home, but now is a proud Southerner. And of course, Senator, our friend Jason Ana Vitarte, Puerto Ricano, Senator from Dallas, Georgia, national Republican leader, and myself, Chris Perlera, Salvadoran transplant by way of Massachusetts, then Athens, UJ alumni, Go Dogs, national champions. Thank you very much. And a strategic partnerships and messaging consultant. And thanks for joining our conversation about what it means to be Latinos in Georgia politics. So first and foremost, again, we want to congratulate and celebrate all of the Hispanic electeds. And we are, I think it's both a privilege, humbling, and just really exciting to say that we have personal relationships with all of our elected delegation, which is why the formalization of the Hispanic caucus is such an important thing. Of course, Jason, the Jasons, you guys have Jason squared, and both of them are Puerto Rican. Estevez and Ana Vitarte, A&E. I don't know what brand that is, but I feel like that's somebody's commercial already. In the House, we have got Pedro Marin, we have Ray Martinez, former mayor of Loganville, We got Phil Olalier. We got Steven Sains, who we confirmed through the media cycle and through various happenings. He's a proud member of the Future Hispanic Caucus in formation. Am I jumping the gun on that one, Jason? He seems excited about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a good group. I think we're going to have a lot of interesting conversation, and I don't know. We'll see where it all takes us. But again, it's kind of cool to build something from scratch, and to build something that no one's ever done. So hopefully, everyone will have an opportunity to give input, and they can put their own mark on it. But and hopefully, we'll have a positive outcome.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. I was just in a meeting with a shout out to the Latinx Alliance. I was in a meeting with Jerry Gonzalez, Kaleo, and Veronica Maldonado from Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We're just talking about the policy work we're doing to the Latinx Alliance. And Jerry brought up about the Latino Commission that Governor Barnes had put together. He convened one for Latinos and one for Asians. This is like early 2000s. And at that time, Sam or David or Pedro hadn't been elected yet. And to, just kind of reminiscing how important we thought it was that the state recognized Latinos enough to have us come together to better understand the issues and concerns and opportunities within the community, within the growing community at that time. And now we have enough Latinos in both chambers where we can actually form a caucus. It's been a dream of mine for over 20 years where we can have real representation at the state capitol. And now that's coming to fruition. I'm just really excited about the potential it has. And like Jason alluded to earlier, we need a space where we can have meaningful conversation about those issues that impact the lives of Latinos and other Georgians, and where the intersections lie, and see how we can establish public policy or make strategic investments to ensure that Latinos are afforded the quality of life that will allow them to live with dignity and be able to continue to contribute to the state. So I'm just really excited about this moment in time.
And I think as the youngest member of the podcast, it is not lost on me that in the time that I have been in this world since I wandered in via a failed state house candidacy, the things that have happened in the last 10 years for Latino politics compared to the last 30 years, Joel, Jason, I mean, although some people are still frustrated, they feel nothing is moving quickly enough, I feel like since I showed up in this space that we have been setting a blistering trail. But we still have folks that are pushing for more, which is always good, but there's been a lot of stuff that's happened to us politically in terms of relevance. We have people moving to Georgia from other places, not the national consultants that swoop in whenever anything political takes precedence in the news cycle, but we have folks, leaders in other communities, other Hispanic leaders that are coming to Georgia to put down roots because it is palpable the change that is happening to our community now. And it is not lost on anyone the accomplishments of our conservative and our progressive elected officials. And people are watching us, and some people are watching us with good intentions, and some people are watching us because we are growing in power and they see us as a threat. And that is something we should never forget, because it doesn't matter the color of your party. There will always be a few folks that are not happy to see our position in this world grow. But we're also here to celebrate it, and we're here to work. So I think it's very important to celebrate Jason, whether you agree with him and every single one of the bills he's passed or not.
I don't.
Joel, you're sure you didn't co-sponsor in your brain the constitutional carry?
Oh, please.
No, that's not your.
No, I'm still holding a private campaign against that.
Okay. We made George more safe, Joel. It's okay.
Did you really? Not safe for me. I'm a large black man in Georgia. It's not safe for me. But the point is, though, we're all committed to advancing the Latino community. However you define advancement, whatever sphere that you operate in, economic, political, social, academic, what have you, health.
Yeah.
We're all contributing to it, right? And so, I want to reiterate a shout out. First of all, let's thank those individuals who decided to serve, who answered the call and decided to serve. We all know the challenges in running for public office and then serving public
mm-hmm. office. Yeah.
And their willingness to do so should be commended, right? It's not easy, but it's necessary. And also, let's again thank everyone who ran, but maybe did not succeed this time around. But we appreciate their willingness to throw their hat, their name in the hat, right? And so that's how we continue to build agency. That's how we still can be able to cultivate the infrastructure needed in order to ensure that we are consistently a presence politically in the state of Georgia and hopefully throughout the Southeast. But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. That's going to be my political mind talk. But yeah, man, I just, it's a great day in 2023. Man.
Yeah. And
we have more than three Latinos serving in the legislature.
Before I forget, I want to give a special recognition to Senator Randy Robertson, who's Jason's suite mate in the Senate leadership office, because he is married to a Latina. And they adopted a Latina little girl. And so when we talk about having so many Latinos and Latinas hanging out and just building fellowship, not actually talking about any legislation, literally just being friends in a room and what it means in the history, in the context of Georgia, to literally have, I think we probably had maybe 6 or 7 Latinos that have some part to play in this ecosystem in that office. And it's just, there's just the sense of adventure and wonder. I was like, because we, as much as it has happened in the last 10 years, in the last 30, in our lifetimes, the pace of change and opportunity for our community politically is going to hit a blistering pace. And we need everybody.
You know, you made me think too, Chris, shout out to, because it's not just about the elected officials, it's about staff. It's about lobbyists, it's about advocates, it's about, you know, how many more Latinos are operating within this political space, right? Just, we're running into so many more folks where you're not the only brown person in the room, but there are others who are equally engaged in one way or another in the political process. So that's how you do it, man. You know, we just got to get folks in there working and realizing the value of being fully engaged and fully immersed in this work. Not for everybody, but for those who can stomach it, you know, we need you to be doing this work, because if you don't do it, then who will? And people will be making decisions about you instead of decisions with you.
So normally, again, we have a guest, but technically today our guest is Jason, because I think we want to talk to him a little bit about, you know, what went through the first day of session. And also, adorably, if you'll catch our pick, his staffer with him all day, aka his daughter, for her to experience the daily life of, you know, a Georgia senator. And I said, hey, shouldn't you be in school right now? And she's like, yeah, but I'm excused. I was like, oh, did you just flex and tell him that your dad's, you gotta go hang out with the senator? And she's like, yeah, pretty much. It's hilarious, but you know, Jason shared that moment with his daughter. But also, this is a busy day, Jason. You want to tell everybody a little bit about, you know, what happens on that first day, because those halls are packed.
Yeah, and she probably also said parts of the day she was probably bored, so she was in the office drawing and doing her thing like a, you know, normal kid maybe would be doing if they're hanging out with their parent at work. So, but no, first day is always interesting. You know, you got a lot of new faces down here, so. To put this year into context, I do not think that we've seen this much turnover in leadership of the legislature since I was told 2 years after, 1967. So after the Civil Rights Act was enacted in Georgia, and I've had a couple of friends of mine, I've asked them to kind of fact check that and see if that's true. But if that is in fact the case, you know, we're kind of in monumental times, you know, generationally, culturally, economically. So, you know, in the House, you got about 10 new senators, roughly nearly 40 new House members. So it's a day you got a lot of families, a lot of folks, but, you know, we're all down here, you know, thinking about the citizens we represent first, or I'll say at least most of us are. But I think, you
many
know,
shades, many shades.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to throw it either. So we can talk about who we'll throw it at later. But I think, you know, those are the kinds of things that, you know, are happening on the first day in terms of, you know, everybody's trying to figure out where you're going, what you're doing. But it takes literally, you know, at the beginning of a biennium, you know, almost 2 weeks sometimes, you know, for people to figure out, you know, where their office is, you know, what do they have for staff, all those basic things to kind of get a Senate office kind of up and running. And so as a senator or a House member, you're probably doing that while you're thinking about what's a bill you want to write, or things you want to do. So it's very chaotic while you're trying to balance, you know, your public service job with hopefully your day job.
Did you mention bathrooms in that list? Because if you don't know where the bathrooms are, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and there ain't many bathrooms in the Capitol, so that's always a maze, you know, kind of where to go. And so so you're trying to balance all those dynamics, including where to go to the bathroom, you know, the first couple of days, and then, you know, the next week's budget. So
there's one bathroom that's right by the Senate chambers, but it's a men's bathroom. Is there even a women's bathroom on that floor?
There is up the stairs in the chamber. I couldn't tell you the history. Yeah, if you go through one of the side rooms,
it's not accessible to the public.
Right.
Yeah, but there's a men's restroom that's accessible to the public that's right there.
There's one that's not accessible, and then there's one that is.
It's like, where's Waldo for the bathrooms?
Yeah, and so we hung out with the good senator in the leadership office for a little bit, and then we tried to record, we couldn't. That's all me. My technical hubris caught up with me. But then we hung out till what, like 1-2 o'clock, and then we went over to see our friends at Ohio River South for a hot second, catch up, and, you know, just decompress. And I think Jason, you had to go back. You had to go back to the Capitol.
Yep.
So
yeah, and Kennedy, she wanted to go back.
Is she officially a sergeant at arms? That's what it is.
Yeah, well, before we elected the real one, yes.
Yeah.
But she's now the chief of staff. So
there you go. That's, you get her a name badge, then make sure that power doesn't go to her head.
Yeah, most people don't know. So, you know, they know my daughter. So all three of them are named after former presidents, but Kennedy, her middle and her first name and middle name is named after two presidents. So Kennedy McKinley. She's okay. Bipartisan.
That's interesting.
This is very balanced. I didn't even know that. Wow, that's
there we go.
You put a lot of thought into the naming of your children.
What are your other kids' names?
Taylor and Madison. Yeah. Now we don't have to sit here and grade the level of the former president.
I mean, I could not pretend to. I'm people think that because we work in politics, we know everything about everything political. I'm terrible at like political history because I don't come from that kind. I'm like, you know, frying pan into the fire politics guy. And so I'm like, if you ask me what I know about those presidents, I'm like, yeah, you got me. I have to look up their Wikipedias.
Surprised you didn't choose Coolidge as for one of your daughter's names. That'd have been
Is that an appropriate
name?
Little girl's name? Coolidge?
Coolidge. I'd have been Coolidge? I'm joking.
That might be a boy's name.
Yeah. Then you could go by the nickname of, they'd just be like, what's your name? My name's Cool.
Cool.
And they'd be like, what do you mean my name's Cool? And I was like, it's named after a president. And they'd be like, cool.
Exactly.
Maybe. Wait, what's your son's name is what again? You also Nation. Have a Nation. Yeah,
Nation,
they got a unique
Nation name. Shabazz Alvarado. So Nation, because we said through him we could build a better nation, and Shabazz in honor of Malcolm X.
You guys put a lot of thought in your kids' names. Like when I think about that, I'm like, I better get it together. I don't have a wife or kids, but I gotta get these names on the list.
Naming is important, man. I mean, because that's gonna be the identifier. That's gonna be who you are, man. That's one of the reasons why my mom didn't make me Junior. So I'm named after my dad, but she didn't put Junior in the end because she didn't want people calling me a bunch of nicknames like, you know, Juanito or whatever. And so true. she wanted to. So I was little Joel, he was big Joel, basically.
Oof, you're the only Joel I know now, and you're big Joel, if anybody asks.
That's what I've been told.
Also, I don't even have a middle name. Like, my parents tried to make my brother and I sound real North American. So it's just Chris and Reggie. And also, on a funny note, we don't, like, my brother is one of the few people whose name is Reggie that is not black African American of any kind. And so he always, it's spelled with a Y because he was actually named after our great uncle, Reginaldo. And so, but he ends up being an interesting talking point where somebody would be like, you're the only person I've ever met in my life who's not black, who's named Reggie. Can we be friends? And the name does so much.
That's super original. What a Y. I mean, wow. I was like, I've never seen that before.
No, and you probably won't because it was a fluke. But let's move on to political minds. Joel or Jason, who wants to go first?
I'll defer to the good senator.
We talked a little bit about his first day in session, but he might have some other things of more national importance or local. Who knows?
I mean, I think what's always on my mind is just it's constantly this crazy economy. You know, I think that's the big thing. I think everybody's kind of watching and talking about 2023. You know, we probably ought to spend some time talking about, you know, what on earth happened last week with McCarthy being elected speaker. I'm glad Republicans finally figured all that
out.
Yeah,
we can talk about that.
You know, kind of, you know, ended that circus that went on for several days, in some cases probably unnecessarily, but that's a whole nother conversation. You know, so I think those are probably the two biggest kind of topics going on. And I think we all know that by the time, you know, the summer gets here, you know, there'll be more conversation about who's going to start announcing for president because 2024 is around the corner. Not that, you know, I'm sure some people aren't ready for another round of elections, but, you know, in the next few months, it's upon us. So,
or even the folks that are whispering and starting the rumors of Kemp wanting to run against Ossoff when he's done being governor. Like, it's so interesting, like how people, and people will do this all the time. I'm not giving any credence to that rumor, but I will tell you that there are people like Jason, Joel, and I, they will just throw out these little thoughts of, did you hear this? Or is there any substance to this? And then all of a sudden it'll become news because you just let it loose in the Capitol, or you let it loose in a place where there's a lot of politicos. And then people are like, wait, why is anybody talking about this? Does anybody have any proof of this person running for anything else?
It's all about perception, man. You don't need proof. You just need to create the story and let it run, have the right person tell it.
Yeah.
But you know, you talked about what transpired in Congress, Jason. And, you know, just as an American myself, I don't value what occurred. Like, it doesn't make me feel good about the representation we have when, you know, this is a simple process, but you want to.
Is it really simple though?
It is simple in the fact that you are, remember, this is unilateral. This had nothing to do with Democrats. This is Republicans voting for a speaker, right? That's the sole function and responsibility they had. And they made that, they trivialized it, in my opinion, and they made it into, you know, a show, a spectacle. And I think it's disrespectful. Like, when you get up and when you have members of Congress nominating individuals who are not even in Congress just to make a political point. And then you have the point of exasperation where there are members who almost got into fisticuffs, they almost fought one another in the chamber. I mean, it's just, I don't understand how that benefits anybody. And it's just really frustrating. And I don't want to be overly critical, but at the same time, that's not the way we want to start this new session, this new term in Congress.
Yeah, we could dive deep into that. And I honestly wasn't paying attention because I just knew it was going to be a friggin' circus. And what? How many total times was it? 13 or 14 tries?
I think it was like 14, 15 times.
Exactly. We lost count of how many times.
I think the vote happened, what, after midnight or near midnight?
I'm like, okay, who do you need to talk to and what do you need to say? So I think about audiences and I think about perception, even if it's not the reality, because perception will erode reality. In the position of the speaker and McCarthy, and even like seeing Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is constantly known as somebody who is incredibly incendiary, and she was trying to be a voice of reason in there, as well as probably causing trouble behind the scenes, because what they say on camera and on print is different oftentimes.
Well, she was right. It needed to be decided and be done with it.
Yeah. And then you contrast what McCarthy said about, roughly put, he was like, I'm never going to stop until I get what I want. But also, if you look in the fine print of this exchange, they stripped the speaker of a bunch of power and like some very interesting. What was that one tidbit of now any single member of Congress can call to remove the speaker?
Yeah, but I think part of that rule, and I'm not going to sit here and be the congressional expert, but I think was already in place. So I don't know that was so dramatic as everybody's saying it is.
Yeah, and it may not be, because it may never happen, but also it creates a specter of what might happen as they enshrine just the culture of the new leadership. And we just have to recognize that he did have to make concessions. So although he says he's relentless and to get what he wanted to be the speaker, much like anybody else running for office, although he won, but the office that he won was no longer the one that he originally campaigned for. He had to settle for a slightly lesser version of it.
And amen. And while we're at it, let me shout out the minority leader, the leader of the House Democratic Caucus, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn, New York. Shout out to Brooklyn. And being the first African-American to lead in that way, the history that he made. And I'm side note, I went to Morehouse with his brother, and he and I were in history program together. And so I'm just really excited, Dr. Hassan Jeffries. And so I'm just excited about the new leadership and the passing of the gavel, the passing of the torch from Nancy Pelosi to Hakeem Jeffries. And I'm excited about the leadership and the vision he's bringing forth in that chamber. So I'm just make sure that it's not always about focusing on the negative, but sometimes let's focus on the positive. And that's, I think, a positive outcome in 2023.
Yeah. So that was still Jason's what's on his political mind. And I did a bad job of keeping track of time, but we're going to keep going.
Good.
Yeah, we're getting back into the flow. Everybody knows that we make time for this. That if you, I'm gonna editorialize our own podcast. People ask us, you guys have Marco Rubio on, you have Greg Bluestein on, you got all these elected officials. I was like, yeah, well, aside, this is less of a business and more of an exercise of fellowship. And I think Jerry Gonzalez put it this way. He might have been the first. It's an archive. It's an archive in real time, and you can look back at all the episodes and ask yourself, okay, these guys are three Latino politicos and we talk about these issues. But if you look at when we talk about it and then what happens, like it shows you that we know what we're talking about and that we have our fingers on the pulse. If not, in the case of Jason, he is literally the legislature. And in the case of Joel and I, we work closely in the mix, even though I've only once donned the lobbyist badge. Joel has officially been a lobbyist for, many years in a different incarnations, but it is a fun exercise, but ultimately it's not a business. So we don't do the best possible job that we could ever do if it was a business, to market everything and to do the script better and to production quality. But no, it's a hobby. It's just that we operate at a very high degree in the subject matter of expertise. So if you're wondering why we don't invest a ton of money into it, it's because we already have a bunch of other things that are very important that take precedence. But we care about doing this activity together. And I really just appreciate how close I've gotten to Jason and Joel through this process. Because if you don't work together in this business, you literally can't be friends, because our time is so demanding between families and friends and policy, that if the people that you spend your time with and enjoy their company, if they're not working towards the same goal, they often get edged out of the calendar.
Agreed. I think you hit the nail on the head and feel the same way. So I'll jump in regarding, and I'll try to be mindful of time, because I know we went deep into what Jason offered. I'm going to talk real quick about just a confluence of activities that I think are really coming together at an important juncture in our political history of Latinos. And 2023 could be a phenomenal year regarding the growth and development of our community as it pertains to politics. And I say that because, just a person who has historical context and have seen the journey, been part of the journey, just seeing what's unfolding this year is amazing. Beyond, Jason's ascendancy into Senate leadership, and beyond are having, you know, more than three Latinos or Hispanics in the legislature, we have enough to form a caucus. So the idea that we can form a caucus and have a place where we can have real dialogue and really work together in a bipartisan manner to think strategically about how to represent the interests of all Latinos is a great culmination of just years of work and trying to create the space where that can be realized. Second, you know, we talked about before how Chris and I are part of the Latinx Alliance, and that is the coming together of various stakeholders and major Latino organizations working in solidarity with community in order to realize a reality that will be beneficial to all Latinos in Georgia and to work towards achieving that, you know, in various fronts, to be able to tell our story, to be able to build strong relationships and be able to pursue public policy that will improve our collective quality of life. And then the last is, you know, Chris and I are also working on a PAC, a political action committee that will be led and focused in Latinos. And that, you know, that is something that is sorely missing. We all know that it takes money to run an effective campaign. It takes money to really be to be able to do the work we need to do in politics and to create an apparatus that will help us raise the money in order to invest in the infrastructure, invest in people, and invest in the story of our political reality. That's something that I've been wanting to see happen for a long time. And we are at a space where we're able to build upon and add to what already exists. So I would be remiss to not talk about, you know, LCF Georgia with Gigi at the helm, or Galeo Impact Fund with Jerry at the helm, or talk about CASA that's come down here from Maryland and that are adding resources and people on the ground, and Brother Latinx with Leslie at the helm, and just, you know, all these individuals that are working on both sides of the political spectrum in order to ensure that we have voice and ensure that we are heard and ensure that we are doing our part in order to lift up our issues and make sure that we have people in positions of power and authority that will make decisions with our best interests at heart. So it's an exciting time in really seeing the formation of this political infrastructure within the state, and not just in the Metro Atlanta area, but all across the state, literally. It does my heart well, and I'm just excited about this chapter in the evolution of our sort of politicization as a community. And I think that we're definitely heading in the right direction. And I think we definitely are putting together the building blocks necessary in order to achieve the outcome we're looking for within the political sphere.
Yeah. That is that was a long speech, but what's important to recognize is Joel is absolutely right. There's a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of people are looking at us for not just our leadership in the mainstream, but we also have to be responsible for our leadership internally in our community, because an opportunity can easily be squandered as valuable as this. And, you know, I'm just, you know, it's very, very lucky, very privileged, very blessed, whatever you want to call it. Like, it, you know, it's a pleasure and a privilege to literally do this podcast, talk about these things, and then we go do them. Because we know so many people that have hopes and dreams and concerns and barriers and like, I could never do this, I could never do that. But what I really like about not just the leaders that are stepping up to serve in these capacities, whether it's the Alliance work, creating a statewide network of leaders that kind of intermingle and support each other whenever they can, to the caucus work that is analogous, where it's organizing our policymakers to at least have rights of first refusal when a good idea comes up. And although you can see Joel, Jason, and I, we work very much together. And so even if one of us does something and the other one claims that we didn't know, we'd be hard to be believed, because we spend so much time talking about everything else. Joel and I don't even know how many projects we got going on at the same time. I can't tell you how many projects I'm working on with Jason, because sometimes I'm just doing it because they're my friends and they ask me and I do it. And sometimes it's because it's part of some contract that I already have somewhere else. And it's seamless. because we have trust and we have capacity in the form of talent, and we trust each other's intentions.
Amen.
Jason, you got anything to add?
You bring us home, Chris?
Well, I feel like Jason has been he's been monitoring a couple pieces of legislation probably from his desk, so I'm gonna bring him back in before we close out.
Yeah, I think everything you said is true, and I think we just gotta keep working at it. I think one of the key things you said there is, you know, I think everybody just needs to be mindful that just because you fail doesn't mean it's the end of the road or the journey. And I think sometimes you gotta fail in order to get things either passed or get things right sometimes. And patience is a virtue. So I think we think about, you know, what's going on down here or across the state, and talking about just pure politics. You know, there's going to be a lot of that, but I think wherever collaboration can happen, you know, let's do it. But again, we're not always going to agree. And I know there's a lot of things me and Joel don't agree on. I mean, one day he'll want to take up our new constitutional carry bill and not have to worry about getting a simple piece of paper. Like, we removed a piece of paper. We didn't do anything else, contrary to what his friends say. But I think there's a lot of other positive things that, you know, can happen, and we'll see what happens.
To close that out, I think it's important for people to remember that within our community, there are some people that don't talk as much with each other, and it's always a benefit to have more communication. But there are those among us that literally, if anybody in the community reaches out to us, if we have the bandwidth, we will try to do somebody a solid or share that information. And, you know, I would say that, you know, the senator doesn't get enough credit for some of the stuff he's done behind the scenes. And luckily, Jason is a chill guy, and he's like, I don't need the credit. I need the results. I need to know that I did good in the world. And even Joel, like, these guys have been, you guys are like big brothers. And, you know, like, sometimes you get, and then you squabble like brothers too, to Jason's point. You don't agree with everything. But when you fight about stuff, it's not because you hate each other. You're literally going through the exercise, the mental, like, dialogue. And then you're like,
it's not even fighting, man. It's like I told my constituents, it's like, I ain't here for no popularity contest. You know, like how I vote, you know, because I'm going to represent my citizens and constituents every single day. Mm-hmm. The way they want to be represented. And that's why you got a God-given right to vote against me in the ballot box.
When I mean fighting, I mean like banter. Siblings right. Argue, but they love each other is the important part. And that's the key. I want to end on a note that we all have our differences, but it's ironic for me to be the one to say this. I can be very combative at times, that you have to try to lead with the olive branch and know that even if you disagree and you have a heated argument, that ultimately we're trying to do what's good in the world. We're trying to improve the lives of Georgians, to improve the lives of our fellow Latino, Latina, Hispanic, Latinx, whatever you want to call it. We're trying to do good. And if we can work together, we should. And just remember that we're trying our best.
Amen.
So, with that said, that's a wrap. So, de nuevo, gracias por su atención. Thank you for your attention, for listening, for sticking around. And we appreciate your patience with our sporadic publishing schedule. But we appreciate you listening nonetheless, because we know it's a small and dedicated audience of our friends that love to talk about this stuff. And we appreciate you for listening, because that enriches our friendship. And then we can pick up on a more advanced conversation the next time you see us. And you can learn more about us at www.lospoliticos.net. Follow us wherever you find your favorite podcast, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, and we'll hopefully see you again very soon. Thanks for listening.